morning, and it's special to be here with you at Blue Ridge this morning, be able to share together. It's been an inspiration to be here, and it's a little bit new for me. I, being recently ordained, haven't been around like some of the seasoned brothers have been, but it's really a privilege to be able to share God's word this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to be here. I'm also thankful that the Bible that you have in your hands is the same Bible that we use at Great Lakes. The same Holy Spirit that empowers his people in Michigan can empower his people here as well. So again, it's really a privilege and special opportunity to be able here to be here at Blue Ridge and worship with you. Also give you a special invitation to Great Lakes. Our congregation's not this big. Our building's way smaller than this. But we have room for you if you come to visit. We'd be glad if you could be there. This morning for a few thoughts, turning your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. I'd like to draw some lessons from the book of 1 John. You know, as we look around in society, and I'm sure, unfortunately, it's the same in Pennsylvania as it is in Michigan. It's really a universal thing. When you look at society, there's a lot of pain and a lot of emptiness. There's a lot of there's a lot of people seeking for fulfillment in life, and I guess I can even identify with that sometimes. What is the real meaning in life? What is the true joy that we can have in life? And this morning, I'd like to pick out verse 4 as kind of a text that your joy may be full. I'd like to think a little bit this morning about joy. When you, like, again, when you look at society and the people in the world, aren't they looking, don't they just, you can see in their faces as you watch their lives, just a craving for fulfillment, for happiness, for real joy, true joy. Reminds me of, I don't know if Brother Steve shared this at your council service or not, but I should say he shared it at our council service. The difference between the light, God's light, and Satan's darkness, the lies that Satan tells us versus the truth that we have in God and God's word. And there's such a contrast there. And isn't that what we see when we look into society? We see a lot of a desire to be fulfilled and to find joy. And this morning, as Christians, as brothers and sisters, praise the Lord that we've got the Word of God in our hands. That's really exciting, that we can have the true joy. We don't need all the things that the world goes after to find fulfillment in life. I do have a burden this morning on my heart that I'd like to share with you. Life is short. Life is short. It's but a vapor, and it passes away. Time is precious, and you and I, we only have, our days are numbered. We only have a certain window of time to live. And my burden this morning is, let's not waste days with a lack of joy and not being fulfilled in Christ. Let's find the joy that God has for us, that our joy may be full. That's my goal this morning. Lift up the hands that hang down. Brothers and sisters, it's exciting to be a Christian, to be able to have a fulfilled life, a real fulfilled life. It's not empty. We don't go about looking for things to fill up the emptiness inside of us, but we can experience the real fulfillment as we look into God's word and as we experience his presence in our life. My desire this morning is that our eyes will be lifted from the negative things that life brings upon us to a God that has promised to be with us to the end, will carry us through regardless of what we face. Even as the psalmist mentioned, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God can be with us and comfort us through whatever we experience. I'd like to take just a little bit of time as we think about the word joy. There's a big difference between joy and happiness. The word happy comes from the same root word as happen, and it's often used in reference to circumstances. Certain things happen, and it makes you happy or it makes you sad. Happiness is an emotion, but joy is the result of an underlying foundation provided by and maintained by a faith and a trust in the only true God. It's a foundation. It's something that's, it doesn't move. And this morning, I guess I'd like to say this at the outstart, that I'm in no way trying to promote frivolity and foolishness. That's not joy. Joy is not, it's not shallow. It's not funny. True joy is real. And it's a foundation. It's provided by and maintained by a faith and a trust in the one and only true God. And I hope that as we read the scripture here in 1 John, as we pick out a few points there, that we can get our feet on that foundation again. There's a few verses or a few thoughts that I'd like to, examples I guess I'd say, that are listed in the scriptures, and I quoted the one from Psalms 23. Somehow we need to take this thing of joy from an intellectual, we sit here this morning and we talk about joy and we want to have joy, but we have to take it a step further than just intellectually talking about it to an actual experience, to a real experience in our heart. In Psalms 23, I quoted that passage, that verse, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." How could David say that? How could he say when he's facing death, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil"? How could he have joy in those experiences? When Joseph had that very difficult experience, his brothers betrayed him, he went down to Egypt. What gave him the ability to say to his brothers, "You know, God meant this for good. He meant it for good. There's a reason, there's a purpose." And he had a foundation. Paul and Silas in their jail cell, locked up in the middle of the night, what do? They had a foundation. They were able to sing in that experience. How could these men of God find it in their hearts to express that kind of peace and joy in the midst of difficulty? Do you face difficulty? Can you connect with trials, challenges? I think all of us can. It's a reality in life. But as we face these difficulties, the goal is that we can have a fullness of joy in Christ. Let's look at 1 John 1 here. I'd like to read the chapter. And as we read it, I'd like to identify some principles that can give us fullness of joy. And I know that there's no way I'll pick out all the applications that could be made here in this chapter, but we'd like to just pick out a few of them. Maybe we could read this from 1 John at this time. 1 John 1, verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. All right, I picked out a few things that I'd like to look at. The first one, fullness of joy comes when we experience the word. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes and our hands have handled, it's the word of life. You've got the word of life in your hands. And as we experience the word, we can find fullness of joy. I challenge you this morning. I ask the question, as a Christian, you understand, I'm sure, I trust, the value of the scriptures and how important it is for the scripture to be part of your life. It's just extremely vital. And I ask you, are you memorizing the scripture? Are you putting it into your heart? Is it part of you? Do you literally use the word to overcome the wiles of the devil? We talk about the word being a sword, and our brother in the Sunday school devotions mentioned this being Memorial Day weekend. There's a lot of recognition to the military, those who have given their lives for the country, and those people used weapons, and they knew how to use them. And I ask you this morning, do you know how to use the word of God as a sword? Does it fit into your hand? You know, it's a commonplace. You know how to use it, and it's a reality for you. Or is it a head knowledge that, yeah, the word of God is the sword, but you don't really know how to use it? Brothers and sisters, we need to use it. We need to use the word of God. It is powerful, and it is very capable. I thought of a little example, a little story. And I read it. But there was a man that came to a Christian brother. And this man that came to the Christian brother was struggling with something in his life that he just couldn't seem to conquer. He couldn't seem to get past. It was something that he wasn't having victory in his life, and he really wanted to, but he tried and just couldn't seem to do it. And he came to this brother and he said, you know, he confided in him. He said, help me out. He said, how can I conquer this problem? How can I overcome this? And the brother thought about it. They had a good relationship. The brother thought about it and he said, you know, he said, just a suggestion. He said, take the word of God and study it and look for answers in the word of God that apply specifically to that issue that you're facing. And so he did that. They parted ways, and they, for good reasons, they didn't meet for several years. And it was probably, as the story goes, it was years later they met, and they recognized each other, and they both connected with that the same thought that they had left on. And the Christian brother asked the other friend, he said, what about that issue that we talked about? And a smile came across the other man's face, and he reached in his pocket and he pulled out this crumpled up piece of paper and he handed it to him, and the man looked at it, and he couldn't read anything that was on it. Handed it back, he said, what's that? He said, well, he said, I know you can't read anything that's on that paper, but he said, I have every word of that memorized. And he said, that's the scriptures that you told me to find. And he said, I put them in my pocket, and he said, that's my sword. He said, when I get tempted or when I face an issue in that certain area, I pull it out. And he said, in the beginning, I pulled it out. And he said, as he used that, he was able to find victory in that area. And I praise the Lord this morning for that. The word that we have in our hands, because it works like that. It does work like that. And if you have an issue that you can't seem to conquer, learn how to use the sword, because it's able to conquer whatever we face in life. Do you think about scriptures through the day? Fullness of joy comes when we really experience and take in the Word of God. If you're struggling with joy, you just can't hardly, it's just not there. Get into the Word of God, because there's answers there, there's promises. It's exciting. Fullness of joy comes when we experience the Word. Verse 2. Number 2, fullness of joy comes when we bear witness of the truth. The life was manifested. And we have seen it. We bear witness of the Word. Fullness of joy comes when we bear witness of the truth. Getting our focus off of ourselves and our problems and our issues, and being a witness to the goodness of God is a tremendous help to finding real joy. Tell others about what Christ has done for you. Sometimes when we are struggling with joy, a lot of times it's because we are so self-focused. We're dealing with our problems and myself. Get your eyes off yourself. I need to do that. When we're struggling with those kind of things, look beyond ourselves. Look at the opportunities we have to witness for Christ, to help others, to tell others about the eternal life that we have. Allow the joy of the Lord to shine from your life. There was a brother that, I don't know if he was on the rotating schedule or not, but he shared out at Great Lakes, and he said this: deep-seated problems can be uprooted by sharing Jesus with others. And I jotted that down in my Bible. I appreciated that thought. Sometimes things that are challenges in our life, they can be uprooted, they can be worked through by getting our focus off of ourselves and reaching out to other people and bearing witness of the truth. Fullness of joy comes when we bear witness of the truth. All right, number 3. Fullness of joy comes when we have fellowship with each other and with Christ. Verse 3 and also verse 7 talk about having fellowship with Christ and with one another. Broken and damaged relationships are not conducive. They're not conductive to fullness of joy. We need to have that relationship, first of all with Jesus Christ and then with others. Luke 6, verse 31-33, "As ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. If ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same." If we desire to have true fellowship with the brotherhood, it must start with true fellowship with God. That's where we can, as we have a good relationship with God, that's how we can conquer the challenges that we face in brotherhood. And challenges in a brotherhood, that's nothing new, and it's nothing to be scared of. It's reality, and we need to work through those difficult experiences. And by having a fellowship with God, we could do that. When there's a distance between us and God, it's not possible to have the real fellowship that Jesus expects us to have with the brotherhood. Psalm 16, verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand is pleasures forevermore." And that is a way to find joy, is to being in the presence of God. And we can do that as we have fellowship with our brotherhood and with God as well. Verse 5 and 7, fullness of joy, number 4, fullness of joy comes when we walk in the light. Comes when we walk in the light. I love that verse, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. No darkness. This world is full of darkness, isn't it? But God is not darkness. And I challenge you this morning, don't walk in darkness. Don't walk in darkness. You've often heard the saying, you are not always what you think you are, but rather you are what you think. Brother Art shares that a lot at Great Lakes, and I appreciate that thought. You're not always what you think you are, but rather you are what you think. Our thoughts do affect the way we are. Think on the light, okay? Let's think on the light. If we don't want to have darkness and we want to walk in the light, then we need to think on the light. And God is a God of holiness and light. Satan is the author of sin and darkness. And I share this. I'm not up on all the news and the latest about all the world events, like maybe I should be, but I challenge you this morning, as you pick up a paper, as you hear the news, as you have conversations with the world, all sorts of media is out there, and there's an awful lot of darkness. There's an awful lot of darkness. But that does not have to be depressing to the people of God. That's reality. It's the life, it's the world that we're in. And Jesus tells us, well, the scripture tells us all through the scripture that as long as people don't seek after God, there's going to be darkness. And what we're experiencing in our society is, it's not a surprise. It's what the Bible explains happens when people don't follow after godliness. So I challenge you, myself, as you meet people from the world, as you read the paper, whatever, as you hear the news, don't meditate on darkness. Don't just dwell on the bad things that could or might happen, but set your affection on things above and get into the Word, into the truth. Share the gospel. Be a witness of Jesus Christ so that we can overcome that darkness. Luke 21, verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for redemption draweth nigh. The end is near. The end is near. And let's not focus on the darkness around us. Let's focus on the light. If we feed on the darkness and the conspiracies of this world, how can we expect to walk in the holiness, purity, and the true light of Jesus Christ? I don't think they mix. I think we need to spend our time. And this morning I'm not promoting ignorance in world events. Not at all. That's not the point. But the point is, we're not from this country. We seek a better country, a heavenly country. And our king is going to reign and triumph. And it will not be defeated. It's not negative. It's very positive and very exciting to be part of the people of God. Train and teach your mind to dwell on the positive promises of light. We need to walk in the light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I'd just like to look up a couple verses real quick. John chapter 8. St. John chapter 8, verse 12. I think sometimes the darkness that is around us can tend to sort of penetrate into our experience sometimes. And I'd just like to look at just a few verses here in reference to Jesus being the light. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Not only is it light, but it's life as well. God will give us the light and the joy that we need. Another verse, just a few pages over, John 12, verse 46. John chapter 12, verse 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Darkness is not the place for us to be. We need to abide in the light of Jesus Christ. And one more, Ephesians 5, verse 8. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. There we have it. Walk, just walk as children of light. Walk in the light. Don't walk in darkness. Fullness of joy comes when we walk in the light. Number five, fullness of joy comes when we tell ourselves the truth. Look at verse 6 and also verse 8. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We need to tell ourselves the truth. Tell ourselves the truth. Lots of dark doubts and negative thought patterns are developed and we are not telling ourselves the truth. There's a lot of pressure in life to dwell on. It's a tool of the devil, isn't it? A handy tool that he uses a lot is doubts, and Satan is the father of lies, and he doesn't want us to believe the truth. Satan wants to kill us and destroy our joy, crash our happiness, and push us into despair and sin. He wants to just suppress that joy and extinguish that joy. Negative thoughts are an old trick of the devil that we need to guard against. Don't dwell on negative things. If that's your experience, if that's a challenge for you, again, I refer back to that little story, that little incident I gave. Pick up the Word of God and find answers in the Word of God that apply specifically to that issue. Claim those promises. Lay hold on those promises and contradict that lie that comes from the devil. Put our minds into the Word. Dwell on positive promises of Scripture. Let's put them in our pockets. Write them in our houses like they told the Israelites to do. Make them available so that when the devil comes with a lie that you can't do it, you can't be victorious, that we use the Scripture, we use the sword, and we know that we can. Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We need to tell ourselves the truth. As I was thinking about this, I jotted down the question, and you might run into this, I run into this in the world, as you meet people and talk to people. A common question is, what is truth? In this day and age, what is truth? And we need to tell ourselves the truth, but what is the truth? John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Scripture is the truth that we have. There's two verses that we read, verse 6 and verse 8. There's kind of a question in focus here. If we say, verse 6, there's a question. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Not really a question, more a statement. If we say that we are walking in the light, but yet we're walking in darkness, we're telling a lie. I'd like to look a little bit deeper into that thought. The fruit from our life is a testimony of what we really are. You know, remember that thought I shared that Art says out at Great Lakes, we're not what we think we are, but we're often what we think. And our walk reveals our heart. If you want to get a true picture of your walk this morning, and you really care about where you're at, I ask you this. Check with your spouse and ask specifically about where you are. Check with your children. Check with your parents, your brothers and sisters at church, your employees, your employer, the people that you work with, or the people that you relate to. Have an openness with them, and if they love you, they'll tell you where you are. The fruit from our life, the outworking, the manifestation of our life is, well, you know this, the old saying, the proof is in the pudding. That's where the that's where the truth is. Fruit from our life is a testimony of what we really are. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And I think that we need to access the resources of not only the Word of God, that's that's the most important. But access the resources of your family, your brotherhood. Shouldn't a good congregational brotherhood relationships, can't we help each other? Can't we help to point out the, not that we're critical of each other, but let's lift each other up. None of us are perfect. We need each other. We need the brotherhood. And I think that's just a really important that we have that in good congregational life, that we reach out to each other and help each other. So fullness of joy comes when we tell ourselves the truth. Verse 7, fullness of joy comes when we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I should have put this one first, probably. But that's the main thing. Fullness of joy, we can't experience true joy if we haven't experienced the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. If we walk in the light, verse 7, as he is in the light, fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin, capable of completely cleansing us. We can't experience true joy when we haven't experienced the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why when we look at society and the people on the street, people in the store, there's that emptiness and there's that desire for things. It's because they haven't experienced the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to believe and experience that. Instilled in each one of us is a conscience that defines right from wrong. And when we violate that still small voice, we extinguish the fullness of joy in our heart. God has given us the Holy Spirit, the conscience. And when we go against what we know is the right thing to do, it zaps the fullness of joy. It takes it away. We can't experience it in fullness at all, because we've violated our conscience. We are not doing what is right. We need to walk and live and do what the Holy Spirit and what the Lord is asking us to do. If you are an unbeliever and you are living in sin, if you know that you are not living in obedience to God, mark it down. You will not experience the fullness of joy. And I, like I shared before, that's what's wrong with the world. And too many times, I think that it can even come into our churches. It's something that I believe we need to be, each one of us personally needs to be aware of. Let's allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse us, and he will cleanse us from all sin. We can find complete freedom in the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, then we can have the fullness of joy. Verse 9, fullness of joy comes when we are willing to confess our sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Did you ever meet someone that they don't acknowledge their mistake? We run into those kind of people. They're always right. They're not wrong. And that's not how you find joy. None of us are perfect. All of us have faults. And we need to be willing to confess our faults and confess our sins. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If we think that we're above confessing sin, or that we don't need to do that, we can't experience the fullness of joy. In James 5, verse 16, you remember that story. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I, as we think about confession, you know, each of us, as we accepted Christ in our life, we confessed our sin, we found forgiveness and we found victory in life. But I asked this question, is confession, is it a once and done issue? Is this verse that says confess our sins a once and done issue? And don't get me wrong this morning, Jesus' blood is capable of cleansing all sin. But I don't think this morning that any one of us is perfect and does not need to confess our faults. If we fail to personally identify and acknowledge the weakness, failures, or sin in our own lives personally, then we are not experiencing the fullness of joy that there is to be had. We need to be willing to identify with the weaknesses that we have, and we need to be able to confess them, to lay them aside, to grow, and to go on in life and experience real joy. We all have faults and we have needs, and that's why 1 Corinthians 10:12 that I read, if you think you're standing, take heed lest you fall. When was the last time that you confessed a fault to your spouse, your child, your parent, or someone else that you wronged? Is confession, and I'm not promoting the idea that we're always living in sin and we need to continually be confessing, but as things do come up, let's be humble. Let's be men of God that are willing to acknowledge a mistake and confess a wrongdoing. Confessing a fault is not a sign of weakness, but rather a mark of noble character. The weak and cowardly are the ones that blame others for failure. It takes a real man to stand up and acknowledge that he was wrong and to change and to grow by that. Fullness of joy comes when we are willing to confess our sins. There's a lot more that could be shared here this morning. And I know that I've overlooked some of the thoughts, but I would just like this morning to encourage you to experience a taste of the joy. There is fulfillment like this world can't offer that's available to the Christian that really, really wants it and that's willing to pay the price to find it. Jesus has provided redemption, and as we trust him and as we look to him for the strength, he can give that to us and we can experience it. Joy comes when we, just a few things that I jotted down. Joy comes when we count our blessings. Just some practical, a few little practical points. Joy comes when we count our blessings. If it's something that you are struggling with, think on the positive. Count your blessings. It reminds me of the story. Remember when Naaman was to go down and wash in the Jordan? He said, I can't do that. That's way too little for me to do. And this morning you might sit there and I even think sometimes, well, come on, count your blessings. There's got to be more to it than that. But that's some of the simple truth that works. Write them down. Think, if you're really struggling with it, take it serious and deal with it. Count your blessings. Joy comes when we find contentment with our lot in life today. I need to share this little story. My son and I have this little joke at our house. If we just had, you know how it is. You never have everything that you'd like to have. If we just had this, and my son and I, we kid each other. If we just had that, then we'd be happy. That's all we need yet. We'd be happy if we had that. Well, years go by and we might attain that, and we look at each other and say, but if we just had that yet, that would do it. You know the story. It's life, isn't it? It's just the way life works. Joy comes when we find contentment with our lot in life now, not tomorrow. Don't wait. Don't just push it off. You know, when this issue gets worked through, then we're going to have it. It's going to be then. It's not that way. We need to find fulfillment today, right now. It doesn't matter what you face, and I don't want to minimize the difficulties that you're going through at all. But there is the capability, there is the resources to find real joy today. And I'd like you to, we need to experience that as Christians. Joy comes when we can see the good in others. Get our focus off of ourselves. Lift up your eyes. There's other people that need our help. And as we share with others, that's when we can experience joy. As we live joyfully, we will teach our children the path of true joy. And life is busy, it's challenging, and I'm sure it is for all of us. But we need to teach our children. More is caught than is taught. We don't need to necessarily tell them how to find joy, but let's experience joy in our own heart. And as we do that, it can flow out to others. I was ordained in November, just a few months ago. And one of the brothers I don't even remember exactly who it was, but they shared this thought. You know, what you need to do, John, is keep the center strong in your own experience. Don't worry so much about being a good speaker or whatever. But be more concerned about your personal life, your commitment with God. And as you're faithful right in the core, then it'll flow over and can bubble out into other areas that only God knows where. But he said, don't ever take your focus off of the connection between me personally, the Word of God, and my relationship with Jesus and what he's done for me. And then, only then can God really, can it flow out to others. And I think about that as we think about children and your children. If you want to teach them joy, have the core of joy in your own experience. And that's when it can flow out into other people. Yeah, again, this morning, I just want to be an encouragement to you here. Lift up the hands that hang down. Be strong. In the day and age, sure, we live in a dark world. That's reality. But we don't need to be depressed by that. Lift up your eyes. Study the Word of God and prepare for the redemption that is about to take place for God's people. May God again strengthen you and bless you as a congregation. May you be faithful to Him and experience that real joy that God has for each of us. Let's kneel for prayer.